The Lonely Gal. Hello everybody and welcome to the Lonely Gal podcast. My name is Judy Wong and I am your guide on this journey. And today's guest is the lovely Aisling Eyre, a resilient warrior bearing her soul on her struggles living with this disease. This life-changing disease turned Aisling's life upside down, and it is called metastatic breast cancer. Aisling's journey has led her to this episode where she shares her story in living with her cancer. Her energy, empathy, and love for humanity led her to share with us today. Her story is her truth. Today's podcast is brought to you in association with Graco Studios, based in Finglas, Dublin. They offer a hybrid solution for video, photography and podcasting. For more information, please check out their website at gracostudios.com. Aisling, hello, and
Hi,
how are
Judy.
You?
Yeah. I'm fine. I wasn't too well when I arrived here, but I feel okay now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just needed a few minutes to just settle
recharge.
It all down. Yeah.
I want to kind of share the guest a little bit about you because my personal, like, you know, of who, what I think of you is, I always describe you as the Yoda of our industry. And I know Yoda doesn't look like a pretty little thing.
I love it.
But such a wise master of like creativity. Mm. And I don't personally know you like so well, but I know you're in the industry. Yeah. And I've always admired you and admired your creativity. So tell the guests and the listeners here just a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. Well, I suppose the biggest thing at the moment is that I have metastatic breast cancer, which is basically stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best to live the life that I once had or to keep on living it. Not to let it go.
Yeah.
So you know me as a makeup artist.
Yeah.
And I would still call myself a makeup artist.
Absolutely.
I've moved from the area that you would have known me in, which was fashion or whatever. And now I prefer making people look not so well. I mean, special effects. And I absolutely love it. And one of the reasons I moved there was, and it was before my diagnosis, was I'd lost my creativity. Something was missing and I needed knowledge. I needed to learn. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of learning in it and I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I actually appreciate that you use the word learning because it's this whole, even this journey here that's brought you today. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of learning coming out of this experience as
well. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm learning about my disease.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for, if you want to call it, alternative ways of treating it. Mm-hmm. But what I find I do is when my oncologist or my nurse, the fantastic team in Vincent's Hospital, and there's a big team behind me and every single patient in there, when they say something to me that I ask them, what's that? But I also go home and I look at it. So I understand where my disease is going and I can now I understand if they give me kind of numbers, I know, it's looking good or we've dropped a bit.
Okay.
So yeah, learning I think is really, really important and it's very important to me because I've become stagnant, you know, and one of the things with this disease is I don't want to become stagnant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I fully intend to live with cancer
100%
for as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah. That's such an amazing and positive like outcome and outlook as well.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back a little bit to because I guess I was a little caught off guard, not in a bad way, when you called me.
Yeah.
And you were like congratulating me around the podcast, which is, thank you so much for like just being so supportive. You have always been. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you in that way, because it's very humbling being a new podcaster as well. But like when you called me and you said, Judy, I'd like to talk to you about, you know, your podcast. Yeah. And then I'd like to share with you the journey about like your metastatic breast cancer and how lonely it is. I kind of was caught off guard, because in my head I was like, oh my God, I want this woman to be surrounded by 1,000 people that she loves. And I know she has 1,000 people. But you reference a phone book.
A phone list.
A phone list, yes.
Yeah. Last November, we discovered that my cancer had spread.
Okay.
And obviously before that, we were trying to get it not to. Mm-hmm. But it spread and it showed up in my liver. So the whole treatment that I had been on from the very beginning, which was very successful and very, very easy to live with, was changed to a new one, which my body just couldn't take. So each time I went into the hospital to have the reviews and things, we reduced and reduced and reduced the dosage to not a great, you know, a troubling reduction. Would it work, or, you know, would it, whatever. So I was, but all the time I was so, so sick. And my body was in pain. And that started on the 27th of November last year.
Wow.
And up to 2 weeks ago, that was my life pretty much. I'm sick all the time. I'm in pain all the time. So I made the decision that I was going to ask to be taken off that treatment.
Yeah, okay.
And with that came, you know, all, I suppose, the negative thoughts. What am I letting myself in for? Yeah. You know, where am I going to go from here? Am I going to make myself worse? So it was a tough decision to make, but it was absolutely what I wanted. So I was totally convicted to take me off this treatment. I just can't take this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And if this is the future, I don't want to live like this anymore. Okay. So I went through, I wanted to share it with someone, and I picked up my phone and I went through the list of recent people I'd spoken to recently, recently, which were family and stuff. And every single name was kind of, there was a reason not to ring them.
Okay.
You know, like, busy. My sister's busy working. One's training at the moment.
Yeah.
And then I went to another one. There was, you know, there were different reasons. Things like the friend who might say, no, don't do it.
Okay, yes.
You know, that wasn't going to be any good for me because I knew I was definitely going to do it. Next one. And I found myself, which led me to you, going, there actually, there's reasons not to ring these people. But at the same time, I found myself being really lonely.
Yeah.
Having made that decision and not being able to share it with someone. So in the end, I actually rang an ex.
Oh. Exes are good for something, aren't they?
You know, everything's resolved, and he's a lovely man. And he, there was something about ringing him.
That gave you comfort.
That just gave me, it gave me what I needed at the time. So, you know, and that was a lonely episode. There are others, and they're not, you know, huge. They're not like they make you cry, I'm so lonely, and stuff like that. But you do find yourself, I suppose, within a disease of this magnitude, not wanting to burden other people with it. There's also, I look normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't look like I'm sick. Unless you were at home with me
to see,
and you could see me kind of struggling to get out of bed, or how long it takes to get dressed, and how you have to pace yourself and stuff like that, you would have no idea, because I'm presenting myself fully dressed, you know, and stuff, you know. So it's kind of hard to get across to people at times how sick you really are.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at you from how well you look.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not a thing that would make you lonely, but it's one of the, yeah, it kind of, it does affect me sometimes, because I find there's no connect between saying to someone, look, I just can't do it. They're seeing me being the smiley, you know, Aisling I still am, except there are periods in between where it's like, whoa.
It's downhill.
It's downhill.
I know, because, you know, before we were trying to find a time that fits, I remember you were talking about, like, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to be good at that time frame around the afternoon to the evening. And you're being very honest. Yeah. Which I was like, no, morning time works. Yeah. And this is absolutely perfect. Because, of course, you want to suit your day to day, because I have no doubt in my mind that when you said every day can be such a struggle, I can imagine that it is. I mean, I only got a sort of a cold, and I thought I had a struggle over the weekend, but it put me in my shoes a little bit, because then I was thinking, that's just a cold, Judy. Can you imagine?
But it's a cold, and you know you're sick. I wouldn't, you know, people say things to me like, oh, but you're far worse off than I am. I don't think they are. I am. You know, like, I've got a team of doctors, specialists, I've got tablets, all that kind of thing. And, you know, if they're sick, they're sick. Mm-hmm. I know how they feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't kind of go, I'm worse than you are, you know.
Of course. Of course.
Again, maybe that is my drive to carry on living a normal life.
Yeah.
You know, there are some abnormalities, like saying to you, actually, it is difficult to get out of bed. It is difficult to, you know, get dressed. You just don't pull your clothes on. You know, you kind of have to go step by step.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are, you said life-changing, there are changes. At the moment for me, it's changes in my routine. It's also changes in things I consider. I'm immunocompromised now, so I have to consider, you know, I'd love to get a short haul flight somewhere, you know, short flight somewhere, whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, I have to consider getting on a plane and what, you know, how I will come home rather than be there, but what will happen when I come home. So, but, you know, the decisions I'm making are just, they're the best.
That's amazing.
They're good ones. They're not bad ones. It's not all negatives, and I can't do that. It's more, look, when I feel better, I'll do that.
Good.
Yeah.
Aisling, so I'm just going to revert back a little bit to, you know, that phone list, because it's kind of like it's quite a big deal. Like, if anybody who has, like, either a disease or not a disease, could they look at their phone book and actually look at the people that they care about and say, would I be able to approach them with information about what I'm going through on a day to day? And would they be able to handle it?
You're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. And you're spot on with that. Would they be able to handle it? So I'm not holding anything back. But at the same, there are little things that I do kind of hold back.
Yeah.
I don't want to put more on them, more worry about me, or more oh gosh, I can't find the word, but more worry about me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if you opened up your whole phone, okay, so there's numbers there that are work, you have to have them. But if you went to, say, friends and family, I would imagine anyone, even without a diagnosis like mine, if they had a life crisis, I think they'd find themselves doing the same thing.
Mm, yeah.
Going through that list to say, who do I tell first? Or who do I talk to about this? Which isn't a bad thing, mm-hmm. because you've got your family who you love and they love you and they see more of the uglier side of it. Then you've got your close friends who love you and they're very happy to bring you out for, you know, a coffee. In my case, I can't even drink coffee now. And then, you know, you've got other people. There might be, you know, there might be a few special people in there, but I don't think that anyone could share everything with everybody in their phone list.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's broken down to what do you share with who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because, you know, the word burden, you used that earlier on, and I guess between that and also you've mentioned before the word protection, they're almost like a yin and yang.
They
like,
are, yeah.
Aren't they? Like you don't want to burden the person that you love, then you're trying to also protect them from, you know, everything that, you know, you're going through, because you love them so much. But then, like, what is that sweet spot of going, like, because you did mention your ex and you referenced that he was a great help to you, which is amazing. And I think, you know, in my head, I'm like, God, you know, I recently have been going to, unfortunately, a lot of funerals. And funerals make you reflect a lot, especially about, like, you as a living person being. Yeah. And I've no doubt that you think about it as well. And I had mentioned to you, like, Aisling, like, you know, I can only imagine, like, if I was in your shoes, I said, I can only imagine my friends had I protected them because I didn't want to overburden them, that at my funeral, they'll be all sitting there going, why didn't Judy Wong say, you know, why didn't you tell me this, Judy? Or I can see them, like, on me as a big energy looking over them. Go, I can hear their thoughts now. And they're like, I can't believe she, you know, withheld information or didn't let me love her more or protect her more. So I was kind of throwing that onto you a little bit.
Yeah. In my case, I don't think I'm withholding information.
Okay, yeah.
I think I'm withholding, and I had the word there just before I said it.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't think I'm withholding information. I think I'm withholding, that burden.
The burden, yeah.
The burden, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe for me it's too early to start having people overcare for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's times when, there have been times where people have been overcaring and I'm like, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And is that a self-induced loneliness or, you know, I don't know, but I think I'm withholding more that it's, I don't end up being fussed over too much.
Yeah.
And that becomes an annoyance,
you know. Yeah, of course. You have to really find the right kind of type of people that understand your mindset at that stage as well, because like, you're right, too much of anything is quite detrimental.
Yeah.
You know, too much love, it's a little bit needy then, it's it's overwhelming. Too much, like, staying away from something can be also a little bit like, oh, you're sifting on your own and you need to kind of like maybe kind of find that happy balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of brings you joy right now in your, like, I know you're going through your processes, but what brings you joy today?
The latest thing?
The latest thing, yeah. Go on, share.
I learned how to make fake teeth.
Oh.
Did you not see them?
Not yet, no. Fake teeth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So basically, it's what a dental technician would do, but it's a special effects end.
Okay.
So this course came up, and it was in Connemara.
Sure.
And I went, I'm going for it. Okay. It's a few days away. It's a challenge.
Yes.
Not creatively, yes, you know, but it's a challenge. Can I do this?
Yeah.
In my present state of health.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me something to really look forward to. I was so excited about it. So that gave me joy because I managed to get myself there. I managed to do the whole course. It was only 3 days, but in my life, 3 days on the run are three long days.
Yeah.
And get myself home. And joy, I think joy is just, it's nice being here talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's having company as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and being able to speak honestly and openly.
Yeah, that is true.
There is joy in that. Mm-hmm. And what's another, again, the way my life is at the moment, and it will change, will look at other treatments for me to bring me back to, it's not such a big deal to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, so looking forward to that, and then all the things that I can do because I'm back on a treatment where, as I said, brushing your teeth isn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or being able to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
So, a joy. Everything brings me joy.
I know.
Judy, everything does.
I can tell.
Honestly.
And you are, you look like joy with, between your purple, lavender, gorgeous hair, looking, giving me unicorn vibes right now, and your beautiful, like, hairband and your healthy glow. Like,
yeah.
You know, your smile is to ear to ear. And it's very, like, it's very refreshing, Aisling. Mm. Like, you always present yourself that way. But I've always known you as a person who is very truthful.
Yeah.
Very, like, no bullshit. Mm-hmm. Straight up, you will say how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why you've gotten the reverence in my industry, that's for sure. Because we all know, like, you know, don't cross, Aisling. There's no bullshit. You say how it is, but you see and only speak your truth, which is an absolute honor to be around.
Good. I'm glad. You know, I'm glad that I'm known for that.
Mm.
I just can't not.
Yeah.
I'm not a good liar.
No. Oh, thank God for that. We don't.
Judy, what about you?
What about,
And lonely. What is lonely? What makes you lonely? Or did you relate to anything like, say, the phone list?
I guess I was very reflective when you were talking about your phone list.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have those tendencies as well, Aisling, to kind of like go between the burden and the protection mindset.
Yeah.
And it just was really highlighted when we spoke on the phone about, like, wow, like who are the like top 5 or 10 people I could rely on that if, you know, the worst case scenario came about, who would those people be?
Yeah.
But would I let go? Would I be able to let go?
Mm.
But then, you know, the more the more Judy Wong attends funerals, the more she's quite reflective of, you know, the only thing we have right now as we live today.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have this very moment, and we also have a little bit of like presence that we have that to give to somebody. Mm. That is the memories we get to give. And if we're not present enough, then we're not giving people something to kind of live on with because I know we all have to go. So, you know, whether it's a really, you know, hard truth.
Yeah.
Or whether it's like a loving truth or it's a truth.
Mm-hmm.
We need to live in that space, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have been like very lonely at times, but I'm getting less and less because I realize more and more of the community out there experience it. And I kind of feel like, gosh, I'm not the only one now.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. When you said about, you know, attending funerals and stuff. The first thing I did when I got my diagnosis, I was first diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, it became metastatic breast cancer, which means the cancer has started in the breast, but has moved to other parts of my body, and that I would be working with treatments to prolong the life that I have left. Ironically, the first thing I did was I planned my funeral. And you better be at it, girl.
Yeah, oh God, I'll be there going, who wants me to talk?
I was in tears.
Oh, wow.
The music, you know, all of that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. But no, do you know what? That's beautiful too, Aisling.
And it was quite an obsession at the time. I'm planning my funeral.
Yeah, well, don't.
You know.
don't be afraid to do that. That's beautiful.
This is what I want.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
100%.
This is what I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought I'd put that one in there.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's absolutely amazing. I think more and more people are, they're not fearing death the way, you know, traditionally death can actually cause us those anxieties. And I'm really glad that you said that you've planned it to a T, because I know that this might sound a little bit weird, but I know if I attend, I will feel your spirit every single music at the entrance, at the, you know, I will get that sense of you, because you put your choices down.
Yeah.
Not many people get to do this.
I know. And I do, you know, I know. And I, oddly, there's kind of positives in what I have.
Yeah.
There's kind of positives in me knowing there's an end at some stage.
Okay.
I could get hit by a bus, but presumably the end for me will be the disease. There's positives in being able to say, I remember the first part of my diagnosis being told, you can't work anymore. A weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Because I went, great, if the phone doesn't ring, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
If no one's booking me, I don't have to worry about it. Mm. And it was total reverse to the stress you and I would experience waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
Hoping that someone remembers you for a job, you know, and God, the weight was lifted off my shoulders. It was like, thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of saw positives in things rather than negatives.
Good.
You know, and I think that's my mindset, see the positive in it, or if, you know, find a way around it. Don't just go, not good, you know, that's not going to work. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much like you're telling me, like, you're constantly pivoting.
Yeah.
Which...
to get
life.
Around and keep moving.
Keep moving.
Get around, get over, get through. Yeah, keep moving forwards.
Okay.
Onwards and upwards, girl.
Onwards and upwards, indeed, Aisling, indeed. And if you were to kind of leave like something like a bit of soulful advice around living with cancer or just living in general, what kind of advice would you love to leave the guests kind of having a little reflection on?
Living with cancer, I think it's, if you're told, I was told I could live with cancer. And that was such a powerful thing to say to me. My oncologist said, right, you can live with cancer. People live with cancer. So I very much put my outlook and my attitude towards this down to her and the positivity that she gave me instead of we're terribly sorry. You know, so I think it's, you know, positivity can't be forced. I don't think it can. Like, you know, I'm not forcing any of this into my head and saying, believe it, believe it, believe it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a hard one with cancer, you know, like people react in different ways. But, you know, I suppose it's live with it. It's a hard one to answer, Gigi. Yeah. I'm sorry, because it is such a devastating disease, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and the way I'm living, other people with the disease can't do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a question I can answer.
That's, no, totally. Yeah, I respect that.
You know, I
that.
Can't say it for absolutely everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. No, I agree. Yeah, just being truthful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another positivity I took out of my diagnosis, which is, and I have said it, you know, I do say it to people, I am actually very happy that I got my diagnosis at the age that I got it at. Mm-hmm. I got it at 56.
Okay.
Because I was still able to be active. I am still able to be independent. You know, I still have... There are still things that I can do with my life and look forward to doing, or set them as, you know, challenge done. But I'm actually really glad I got my diagnosis when I did, because it does give me a chance to live my life with the disease and keep on living it, where had I been diagnosed at 76... I don't know, would I have the fight, the energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, how long will this take?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and do I really have to go through treatment mm-hmm. for what's going to happen anyway?
Yeah.
You know, just make it painless. You know, so I see a huge positivity in that.
Yeah.
In that I am young enough, thankfully, having, you know, knowing I've got this disease, but young enough to still come in here and chat to you.
Yeah.
Still, you know, get things done. And in the summer, I'll be going sea swimming.
Yes.
You know, so.
Amen to that,
milestones.
Sister.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, here, Aisling, thank you so much for being present.
You're
honestly
very welcome.
Yeah, you've been an absolute darling. Like, I think you are an absolute miracle for just being able to share a piece of you, and that's just, I think the listeners will.
I hope it's not just a piece of me. I hope it's a piece for anyone going through the same that I'm going through.
Absolutely.
That people, you know, who are listening to this maybe don't realize. And it's not just cancer.
Yeah.
It's illness.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to be about me. I would like to think that someone goes, God, you know, the phone list thing. You never would have thought, you know, and yeah, so it's not just about me.
No. And I love that, because you always see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Like I said, humanity, like, you are very much the Yoda who wants to send the spirit around, the good vibes around, and yeah, Yoda vibes. But thank you so much for your time.
You're so
You've
welcome.
Been so honest, and I know the listeners will be so grateful to hear you, Aisling. They will.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for your honesty as well. I mean, I know you. We don't know each other very well, but I would not have shared this with any other podcast except yourself.
Aww. Now she makes me cry. Thanks. Aisling, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we will be speaking to you very soon. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today with myself and Aisling Eyre. If anything resonates with you on this podcast, please reach out to our socials at thelonelygal_ or the email lonelygalpodcast@gmail.com. Take care now, and we'll talk to you soon.